Hello and welcome back to Even More News, the first and only news podcast.
What?
Correct.
You sound so unsure of yourself.
I will explain that more when we get to this subject in a few minutes. But first, I should introduce myself. As always, I am Katie Stoll.
That's so true. Wow, E. Hi. Wow.
Yeah.
Should I say my name?
Yes.
Okay, it's Cody Johnston.
Cody Johnston!
I mean, hey, hello.
Okay, hold your applause. Hold your applause until I introduce our guest, our friend, our colleague, David Christopher Bell.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you for joining us on our show.
It's good times. We're having good times. Nice and easy. I always love being on the show. I like guesting in general because I host too many podcasts. So I don't have to do shit right now.
It's guesting fun to be great. A guest.
It's super chill. I love being on Hypecast. There's a plug for you. You just show up and you respond.
Yeah, you don't have to prepare. You don't have to keep the momentum going. You can just...
You can leave a lull and then...
stop talking.
Yeah, it's not my responsibility. To entertain all these people.
Before we get started today, I have a couple good holidays to call out for all of you. The first one being International Podcast Day.
Get the fuck out of here.
Correct.
No, get out of here. No.
We've just started. I'm not leaving. Okay, it is International Podcast Day, and we are calling it out on this here podcast.
Did you guys set up your podcast tree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I have a podcast tree. I decorated.
Enjoying my podcast advent calendar all month in anticipation.
Mm-hmm. A lot of promo codes on that tree.
Day of September. Remember the podcast memberships. I don't know. I lost it. It's also National Love People Day, which goes hand in hand with podcasts because we love podcasts and the people who make them.
Wait, it's Love People Day or it's Love People Day?
Exactly my question. Thank you.
I think it's National Love People. Like, go out there and love someone.
Love
not
people.
Like,
but I don't know.
Not like people.
Not
who love
people. Love people.
Because you got to beware the love people.
Beware the love people.
Yeah. The love people.
They're too much. They're too much. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, now it's starting to sound like some sort of weird horror movie.
Okay, no, it is directing you to love people.
Love people.
Help someone else, express your love with the arts, be nice. Those are the three tenets of National Love People Day.
I feel like every day is Love People Day and Podcasting Day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And both holidays, you can leave out biscuits and chamomile tea for Ira Glass, who comes down the chimney.
I've got one more holiday to throw out at you guys that I realized right before we started recording, and this one is a bit more serious.
9/11? Is it 9/11?
Yes, of September. That's correct. It's been 10 years, less some amount of days. No, September 30th, this is a new holiday. It may only be in Canada, but this is the inaugural National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, which is a day to honor the First Nation, Métis, and Inuit survivors of residential schools and commemorate those who did not return. This is a really important holiday and issue to be bringing awareness to, and so I wanted to make sure to highlight that. And I believe this is either if you start seeing people wearing orange shirts, this is about rallying around this cause. But if you choose to support this, also make sure that you are purchasing items from Indigenous communities and not people trying to profit off of.
That's cool. Is this like a Canada, like a government officially was like, this is the holiday?
I'm seeing Canadians post about this, and I believe that this is probably directly related to the news from earlier this year, the uncovery. Oh, I mean, it's not like this is a brand new issue that we didn't know about. It's certainly an issue here in the United States that I plan to keep talking about in greater depth in the near future on our variety of shows. But I think that this specifically may, I don't have it in front of me. I just saw this right before we logged on, and I thought it was cool and wanted to mention. in response to the news stories from several months ago about all the mass graves uncovered in Canada, I believe. But correction corner next week if I'm completely wrong. Mm-hmm. But you guys get where my heart's at right now. I'm Absolutely. Calling attention to it. This week, our episode is brought to you by our Patreon, of which we wouldn't exist, without which we wouldn't exist. Mm-hmm. And of whom we appreciate and love very much.
Much.
Yes.
I'm calling this out as a segue into the announcement that we have sort of made, but haven't officially explained yet, I don't think, on any public platforms.
We made it, mostly. There's a video, kind of.
Yes, there is a video, kind of. The video is explaining some of the changes that are happening, and it's really exciting. You guys listening to this, if you aren't yet aware, will soon be aware that the audio from our Some More News videos will now be available in this very podcast feed every week on Tuesdays, simultaneously as when they appear.
The second and only news podcast.
That's right. Appear online. Bringing it back around to what I was saying. Do we have to change the tagline? I don't think so. It's still part of it.
It's an extension, I'd say. It counts. It's it all counts. One big canopy, only news podcast.
So it's all very exciting. What I'm saying about what we haven't quite explained is we are now working under the umbrella of Cast Media, which is incredibly exciting for us because it gives us the opportunity to expand and pay everybody what they deserve to be paid and create more content and continue to make our Patreon an exciting place where we experiment with new things. And we're really, really thrilled. It also means a lot more content because with this new deal, we will be releasing an episode every week of Some More News and Even More News, Rain or Shine, which is great for you guys. And for us.
No, it is, and from my perspective, it's nothing but good news. You know, we don't have to change the show in any way. It's just more available, and it's more, like, advertised, going to be more accessible.
More marketed.
More marketed. Like, it's all good.
It's all the things that we couldn't do by ourselves. They will help us to do that. But yes, there will be more ads. And we can promise you that we've already committed and worked into our contract and all of this stuff to make sure that we will only be working with brands and sponsors that we feel are in alignment with what we stand for and what we do. And we take that incredibly seriously. And it's just a part of what this is. And we're happy to be partnering with such a cool company.
And if they're not aligned, we will say so.
And if they're not aligned, we'll say so.
I was telling Cody this. You guys have taken that aspect very seriously. I wouldn't have done that at all. I would have been like, yeah, brain pills? Fuck it. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. Let's lead these people astray. I don't give a shit. It's really nice to see you two care. About
thank
that?
You thank you
because I wouldn't have and that
it's
makes
a really
me a bad person
weird part of this well no because it's part of
it's important.
We live in a capitalist society. It's part of it. We've been doing this for almost 4 years by ourselves, you know, this little crew, ragtag scrapping. It's been amazing, and we couldn't have done it without literally everybody who's supported us, but in order to keep doing it, there's just certain realities of it. And I appreciate you saying that because it was really important to us to not, we don't want to find ourselves in a position where you compromise integrity.
It's nice because you still need the people who support you. The Patreon is obviously very important. It's just nice that you guys are getting a little bit of help, and taking, some of the edge off. 'Cause like you're saying, you've been at it for so long. It's grueling. And so it's nice
and
to
exciting,
have some more,
but
but like doing the show, doing everything, it's busy. It's good that you're getting more resources. You guys deserve it. And it's,
you deserve it as well.
Oh, thanks. And, I don't know. I think it's very admirable that you guys are taking that time to make sure everything's correct.
And we'll, we'll keep trying to, and, you know, some things might slip through, in which case, like, if you're listening and you're like, wait, that, that company is owned by a demon, then you should, like, you should tell the news, because that's evidence that demons exist. But then also tell us.
Tell us.
So that we can
be aware
of. Because
this is the first and only news podcast, and we'll be reporting on it. I that's a really important part. We do need to move on to talking about actual news, not just our company news. But always, always, always feel free to reach out and know that we're doing our best. It's part of our system that we've been implementing, hiring people. We have a whole person whose job it is to be screening it and researching and giving us information on sponsors. But again, like Cody said, something might slip through the cracks, and we are here for you to tell us. But with that, I think we should move on to some real news. Jonathan, producer extraordinaire.
Oh, yes. I've got real news today.
Break it.
Prove so it. There's this thing. I don't want to get too in the weeds here. Congress.
Congress.org? .com. .gov.
Yeah, I think
it's not a website or like
no, it is. Yeah, go to congress.gov/some news for 20% off.
Was
life
cut that first half of a joke?
Nope, I like it.
No, it's too late.
I got nothing to add to it.
Stays.
Yeah, it stays. Yeah, so right now it looks like this could change at any moment, by the way, because, you know, they keep debating and negotiating. As of right now, it looks like we're at an impasse on the Build Back Better bill and the infrastructure bill.
Shocking. Mm. Shocking. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
An impasse, you say?
Yeah. I mean, it's the same impasse we've been at for months now. But I think Nancy Pelosi really thought there was going to be a deal by today. There was a scheduled vote today. I don't know if that vote is still planned or if it's been postponed.
I'm sure it's been postponed. They do not have the votes because I mean,
they don't have
get
votes.
Into it. It's frustrating.
They avoided the shutdown today.
Yes.
Congress did, and they don't think the House will get around to it. I believe is the last thing I heard.
No, the shutdown is avoided. The Senate and the House both voted to avoid the shutdown. That's going to Biden's desk. So there's not going to be a government shutdown. Yeah. The impasse is in the small infrastructure bill, the bipartisan infrastructure bill, which is what it was called when it passed the Senate, and the $3.5 trillion Build Back Better bill.
To clarify, those were separated months and months ago. All of it was a part of Biden's agenda, and it was separated under the condition with the idea that it would be easier to pass these in tandem. And the deal that Senate Democrats, progressives accepted was that Nancy Pelosi would only bring the bills to the floor together, and she has now changed that stance. And this is the position of our most progressive members of the House right now, is to decide whether they will hold this up by demanding what was promised before, essentially to make sure that everything that we want to be included stays included. But then we've got those four moderate Democrats that are holding ground and causing problems, and it's now being framed as the progressives. Did I get this right? Sorry, Jonathan. I just got worked up prepping it.
No, it's easy to get worked up about. So this $3.5 trillion package has to be passed through reconciliation in the Senate, since no Republican senators are on board. But Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are not having it. They think $3.5 trillion is too high. Kyrsten Sinema said she sent her specific demands to Chuck Schumer. We don't know exactly what they are. Joe Manchin says he won't support anything over $1.5 trillion, which is, you know, way less.
Can I just interject really quick? Point of clarification that the $3.5 trillion that is being framed as too much money is over the next decade.
Yes. Yeah. Correct. It's over the next decade. It's not all at one shot.
Yeah.
So it's not.
Well,
expensive.
If we're going to compare things, we could compare, let's say, the Department of Defense budget would be, if it were framed in the way that the media loves framing this bill, they would say the $7.25 trillion Department of Defense funding over 10 years.
Right.
Right. Excellent.
More than $700 billion every single year.
They love acting like that's a lot of money, as if we don't spend that much on other things constantly.
Yeah. And the media loves running with that as well, because it creates a sensational headline. I talked a bit about this on Where's Your Over this week. But yeah, it's very frustrating.
$350 billion a year, more or less, is how you would frame it if you were honest.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Also, so, Manchin and Sinema are both heavily lobbied. I was reading articles about it, and suddenly popped in my head was the Simpsons episode where they have the film festival, and Mayor Joe Quimby and Krusty want to vote for Burns for All Seasons because they've been bribed and they hold everything up. When clearly Pocahontas is the winning one.
Clearly, film is clearly.
Yeah. Clearly.
It's that. It's they're like, we don't want to explain it. We're
right. If you look in the corner and you see ExxonMobil, like, just like watching, like, that they're going
to
vote.
To that point, I just, Jonathan, I'm going to let you take the ball again and run. But it's maddening when the vast majority of Democrats, not just progressives, are in alignment. This isn't just progressives holding things hostage. This is the president's plan. You know, this is the agenda of the Democratic Party that means what vulnerable people would get reelected or not. You know, like, the people that worked very hard to get you elected are dependent on the things provided in this bill. And if you don't deliver, you fucked up big time. So it's being framed in this way by disingenuous people as like, oh, you know, and it works. Like, even people in my life go like, well, I can't believe they won't vote for it. Well, really? Well, think about the big picture. Think about what we're fighting for. It's not about in this moment right now. You're not digging deep enough to figure out what's going on here.
Yeah, I mean, there's like the Manchin today doing his thing about like, you know, I don't want to contribute to entitlement culture or whatever. So he has to keep it down to $1.5 trillion. And then he made some offhand comment about how like, you know, and then, you know, the other stuff that they really want to do, we'll do it down the line. No, you won't. You said it. Like, you will not do the things down the line. Your goal is to not do those things. If you wanted to do them down the line, do them now. It's easy. You just have to vote yes on it.
Okay.
It's very frustrating.
This $3.5 trillion package over 10 years is already lower than the planned $6 trillion package. So, you know, the progressives have already compromised a huge amount to get this done and would happily vote for the $1.2 trillion infrastructure, actually $550 billion of new spending over 5 years package, if the Democrats kept up their side of the bargain. But they weren't able to make it happen. You know, based on these statements that Manchin and Sinema have released yesterday and this morning, it doesn't look like they're going to. And so, you know, that's it. The agenda to... And we should say, like, we haven't said what this huge Build Back Better bill would do. It expands the child tax credit, incentivizes clean energy, establishes a civilian climate corps, expanded education. I mean, there's a lot of universal pre-K is in there. Like, there's a lot of things that have been on the progressive agenda for a long, long time. And this is going to be, I mean, unless you're an optimist, this might be the last chance Democrats have to pass any of this stuff till when? 20, 30, well, you know, depending on gerrymandering, depending on how all this stuff goes.
Right. I mean, and if they can't even do this, I mean, I shouldn't say can't even, because this is obviously a big deal, but how are we supposed to do anything? Voting rights, anything at all? And to your point, Jonathan, because again, these are, people like to frame it as this big revolutionary win that we had in taking back the White House. It actually, and yeah, there was a clear mandate as to who won, but it wasn't overwhelming or shocking in some way. A lot of people, this country is so divided, and the people that showed up and had to be convinced to go to bat for the Democrats aren't going to be too pleased to see nothing happening.
Yeah, there's a reason it takes a lot to get people to vote for them when they don't really do the things that they like. It's always presented as, well, if you don't vote for us, it's going to be the other guys. It's always sort of a line of defense. It's never they're never on offense. They're never proactive. It's not doing things. It's stopping bad things from happening. It's not doing good things. And here they're actually like trying to do good things. And it's just very disheartening, I think. If it doesn't happen, it's going to be very, very disheartening for people.
It's a bummer because it's a reminder of, like, what attracted people to Trump, which was, like, someone saying, I'll get things done. And it's, like, I hate how basic that is, where it's, like, literally people, like, I'll get the stuff done because they can't get the stuff done. And, like, a lot of what the GOP does, like going into, like, how they did the Texas abortion law, which is, of course, ghastly. But they were like, we're going to burn the whole system down to try to get the thing we want done. They play dirty, and there's an argument of like, yeah, it shouldn't do that. But it is what makes people appeal to them when it's something like this, when it's like looking into these senators holding it up and how obviously like just in the pockets of corporations they are, how Kristen Sinema is holding a fundraiser with a bunch of PACs this week that all don't want this bill to go through. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and they're trying to like play fair with these people. And it's like, no, fuck these people. They're lying.
They're not there to do it. They're not there to do the thing that you want to do. There.
Yeah. You should kick them out. Like, it should be like, you're being bribed. Leave. Like, right, you don't actually want to do this stuff. And I know they can't. But it's just
you can
such
like threaten to like remove
process.
Them from committees. You can like there are ways to like whip votes, and it
don't
just
you,
seems like they're just being like, "Well, meet with us and like tell us what you want. What do you want? And we'll do it."
It feels like the kind of thing McConnell would be able to get done. You know, like
it does.
There are ways.
It?
Feels like,
and I mean, the Republican Party, the people that were anti-Trump were pressured into being pro-Trump every time they tried to take a stand. Where's the collective guilt tripping from the Democratic Party? Joe Manchin, you're holding us up. Why aren't we talking about what's happening really plainly?
Yeah.
Media too. Why aren't you spelling it out?
They're getting there slowly. I've noticed a little bit of push.
Do it fucking now.
For in terms of the media narrative, it seems like it's turning slowly towards like, by the way, the Progressive Caucus has been very, very amenable. These two people are stopping this from happening. They are being the difficult ones.
It doesn't help when like the GOP tends, they're like, the GOP aligns with corporate interests a lot more too. So like they don't get that resistance. So that's also a part of it too, is it's easier for them to get things done because what they want to get done is all the people in power are like, that helps.
Right.
Well, right, because also, like, the things that, like, because also, like, you know, Democrats are corporately aligned as well in various ways.
Oh, for sure,
And the things that they purport to want to do are antithetical to that. Like, the things that, the existential crises that they talk about, the things that need to be done are bad for companies. So it's hard for them to really talk about them plainly because then, like, all these companies are like, well, but then we won't give you money because like the things that have to be done is like, okay, you like don't exist. You're going to go to prison. You're like ExxonMobil. It's prison time. Sorry. It's just hard for them, I think, to balance that of the agenda is anti you existing, but not really. Cause you can't really do that. I don't know.
Right. Both parties have these bases that are, they're trying to toe the line, right? They're trying to keep things the status quo that they want it to be and that it has been. The
more as much as they can.
Center politics where it's like, yeah, we're all taking money from lobbyists. Joe Manchin has gotten money from the PAC owned by Fox News. Like, it's like they're all part of that same group, but then they both have this base, like, progressives or the far right where they're like, no, we're demanding this specific stuff, and they're trying to like balance it. Obviously the right, it's a different group of demands, wildly different, but
comes from a different place, and
but now, it's the same like cowardice. It's like we're trying to make everybody happy, and it's like, well, there's some people who won't be happy unless these people go to fucking jail, so what are you gonna do about that?
And regardless of what happens with these two bills, right now it looks like nothing. Democrats in Congress have another issue coming up very, very soon, and that's raising the debt ceiling. This is what they tried to get done in a bill earlier this week, paired with funding the government. And Republicans said, nope, we're not going to vote for that. We'll only vote for a single bill that funds the government, which they did today. You guys have to raise the debt ceiling on your own. But doing that is an extremely complicated and annoying process that I'm not even going to go into here because it's that obnoxious and technical. But basically, they have to go back to committees. They have to go through a Votorama process. The Senate parliamentarian could screw stuff up. And Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says this has to be done by October 18th, or else the U.S. isn't going to be able to pay some of its debt. And that could... It's never happened before, so we don't know what might happen. It could pause the child tax credit payments to 30 million families. It could delay Social Security payments to up to 50 million seniors. It could cause a rise in unemployment. Like, and the Republicans are just doing it to first bite.
Yeah, of course they don't care.
How can they get away with that ceiling?
Well, their thing is, like, you guys are in power right now, so the Democrats, it should be your sole responsibility to raise the debt ceiling, even though it's totally routine. It's done all the time, and the debt ceiling has to be raised now to pay for the stuff like the $1.5 trillion Trump tax cut from before. Like, we're not raising the debt ceiling to pay for all this new progressive stuff.
Yeah,
we're paying for their tax cuts. And McConnell gave this big speech, like, well, whoever needs to do it, it changes from time to time.
That was a pretty good McConnell.
I watched his whole thing, and it was very annoying.
Yeah, he's a very obnoxious person to have to listen to, not just because of how he sounds, but because of what he says. And they know. That's the thing. Like, they know. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. They can say what they want, and the machine will keep on grinding to a halt, and then, like, lurching forward slightly, and then grinding to a halt, and they love it.
Yeah, they're trying to be jerks, and this time it could really, like, have very sudden repercussions if they're just not able to do it. My theory is that if...
My theory is that if
Democrats try to go through this whole process and it's really not happening by, like, mid-October, you know, McConnell will find some way to save face and they'll vote for it because they really, really cannot let this happen.
Right.
It does all feel like some sort of strategic talking point for campaigning, too.
Right. Like, we refuse to go along with the Democrats, the relentless spending. Yeah. Got time for one more broken news story?
We sure do. No ads today.
Oh, boy. So... Cody, I hate to break it to you, but this is bore-aching news. Which I have been planning to say for hours and immediately regret doing so.
No.
Shakira, pop star Shakira, says wild boars attacked her and stole her purse in a park in Barcelona.
Those motherfuckers.
This is the first celebrity interaction, I think, with the boars. Is that right?
I mean, somebody once warned me off of the boars in Flagstaff, but I don't think I count as a celebrity interaction, as I didn't see one and I'm not a celebrity.
I mean, I'm going to look this up, but it's them. They're trying to say no one was safe, and they're right.
Like, yeah, no one's safe.
No one is
celebrities,
safe.
Celebrities, they're just like you. They also not have safe. To fear the boars. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, it's unclear if the boars knew it was Shakira specifically, but
they knew.
They were targeting her.
They know.
She says they took her bag to the woods with her phone in it.
Yep.
They've destroyed
everything.
That's what
they do.
She said.
That's what they do. They took it back to their fucking lair. That's where they keep the stolen phones and purses and whatnot in the woods.
What's the end game for them?
Total domination.
Chaos and domination.
I mean.
Oh, and so, there is...
you destabilize everything and then you rise up.
We actually talked about this. There's Pig Beach. It's a celebrity, an island where rich people go to swim with feral hogs. So I think what it is they have some sort of agreement with them. Like Donald Trump Jr. has been to this beach. The Kardashians, they've been to this beach. So I think probably Shakira is just not playing ball, like with whatever their plans are with celebrities.
Well, right, they're sending a message. You've been coasting long enough, but the boars come for everybody.
Mm-hmm. The boars come. You either
it's time to face the bacon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you look up Pig Beach, you'll see. Yeah, all these celebrities have been on this beach with these hogs talking about who knows what. You know, who knows what what's going on there.
My God, this goes so much deeper than I even thought.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. You go to Pig Beach and you talk about your plans, but guess what? You're not actually a part of their plans. They're using you.
Yeah, exactly. There's this promise of like, you know, when the time comes, you'll be spared.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just they're just tools.
No, nobody will be spared. Obviously,
if any of our listeners don't know what we're talking about, I highly recommend you go back to our YouTube channel,
educate
and
yourself.
Look through. And, educate yourself on boars.
Fucking educate yourself, okay?
I am not joking around right now. I'm not fooling.
We're not joshing.
That's your homework.
Mm-hmm.
Click literally any video on the channel. You'll get some information.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There are specific boar-related videos. Thank you for that update, Jonathan. It is truly disturbing.
Oh, you're welcome.
But we must soldier on and talk about other things.
Soldier on.
I have a list of celebrities that are pro boar, that are boar sympathizers. That Miley Cyrus has a boar, George Clooney, David Beckham, Paris Hilton. These are all people.
They have boars.
Megan Fox. Yeah, they all apparently have pigs.
Honestly, I believe it. I believe that each and every one of them are dirty fucking traitors.
Yeah, they say I have a pig, but it's really the other way around. The pig has them.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it's classic conditioning.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Speaking of disturbing, let's talk about some more news items, shall we? Yep. Not waiting for an answer. FBI crime data. Ooh. Fun. So earlier this week, the FBI
crime annual... and data.
Yes. Okay. I'm abandoning that voice. Released its annual report on crime. And a lot of people were up in arms about it. Specifically, one piece of data that has been taken out of context to fit narratives. Surprising. And that would be our homicide rate. According to the data, the number of murders in the United States in 2020 jumped 30% compared to the previous year. And that is the highest year-over-year increase since we started keeping track back in the 90s. In 2020, homicides were at 21,570, and in 2019, it was 16,669. Now, like I mentioned, people have taken a number of things from this information, a lot of it not valid. So for fun, we're just going to walk through some of the bad faith arguments and then segue seamlessly into the common sense explanation. Cool? Cool. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Aha. Bad faith argument number one. This increase is because we defunded the police.
Who?
Isn't that cute?
Oh, yeah.
Who did that?
Great
Who
question.
Fucking did
Who
that?
Specifically has defunded the police yet.
I was going to say, you remember how we defunded the police and now there's no police anywhere? Like, that's totally a thing that happened.
Unbelievable.
My biggest surprise, and this is more says more about me, is the numbers still seemed low. I thought way more people were killing other people in this country.
So we're going to... Right,
and I was like, oh, wow, we're doing all right. Like,
that's not so bad.
Yeah, that's just my overall estimation of how many murders were happening.
Right. And we'll get to that in one moment because it's not a bad point.
Is it?
But yeah,
though?
But people,
I don't know.
Well, it is in that this is still lower. I believe that I'm saying this right, Jonathan? We're still at lows, lower than we were in the 90s, in the early 90s in general.
Murders were at historic lows before this recent spike. So we're 30% up from historic lows. And, you know, there are fewer murders now happening than in the early 90s when there were 80 million fewer people in the United States. Mm. So the rate, you know, the per capita or per 100,000 rate is still significantly lower than it was. So the framing off the bat that this is some never before seen number of murders is not true. For the defunding the police thing, I read this article from the Wall Street Journal, and, you know, they don't frame it like defunding the police caused more crime, so we're rolling it back. But they have it in a kind of insidious way where the headline is cities reverse defunding the police amid rising crime. And it's, but it's like, that's not really.
Were they doing it? Are they reversing what they were in the middle of doing? Or are they just continuing to not do that?
It implies that they're doing it because of the rising crime, or like that the two things are related. And it's like, no, those two things are just... The cities are not reversing defunding the police.
Any cuts in funding also. Like, there are some cities that have done some specific reallocating of money and maybe little bits of little trims. It's not significant. It's not like you're seeing a reduced police presence. But, okay, this leads to another bad faith argument, which is like, okay, if it's not that we've defunded the police, it's that we've hurt police officers' morale, essentially.
You know what hurt police officers?
Police officers are less proactive. Right, right. Maybe. Yeah.
So they're letting us do more murders.
No, for
because
like
they feel like they're not backed up. They're being petty little bitches, you mean? Police officers are being, oh, they don't like me, so I'm not gonna do my job.
That's well, right. They're saying like, well, I stopped 15 murders last year, like single-handedly stopped those murders. So now I'm not going to anymore. Like, that's what I guess they want us to believe, that cops will just stop doing their jobs if, you know, you criticize them at all.
I'm sure there's some petty bitches that should stop saying that. It's not nice.
I do want to clarify that the number one cause of death for on-duty cops in 2021 was COVID-19.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they refused to do the things that would prevent that from happening.
Yeah.
Also, do cops stop murders? Like,
that's right. The other thing. They barely solve them, but they don't stop them from happening.
Right.
They come in after the fact.
I don't have like the statistics, but I imagine most murders are people who know each other. Is that true? I feel like I shouldn't throw that out without knowing. But like, yeah, say you have a pandemic where a lot of people are very stressed out and in small quarters with each other. I would imagine murders go up.
That's the point we're building to, is that is the actual... No, it's fine.
It's so obvious.
Obvious. Why jump? I'll just say the last bad faith argument that gets thrown out is that it's bail reform, you know, letting criminals out of prison. Get out of here. Also, thank you for this, Jonathan. Murders have also increased in municipalities that don't enact bail reform and don't have the revolving jailhouse door. So there you go to that argument.
We should say revolving jailhouse door is something a cop said. We're quoting. Oh, that's not your phrase.
No.
They're saying
not.
There's a revolving jailhouse door, so no wonder we let all of the criminals out and they're doing all the murdering. And I mean, that's just not supported by anything.
Great catch.
I found a little bit of statistics. Most of them, they don't know. But it's more likely for an acquaintance than a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, girlfriend. Specifically girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And this is really, really important. I mean, because this is important information to understand that there's been this huge spike in murders in 2020. Well, what's the fucking thing that happened? Well, a lot happened, but we had a global pandemic where people had to shelter in place in potentially tumultuous environments. I don't mean to suggest that all of this is just domestic abuse, but that's certainly a factor here. But also, tensions are high. People are depressed. People are desperate because our government doesn't support them. They don't have health insurance. They're losing their home. There's arguments. There's tensions. Maybe somebody relies on drug use to escape. Any number of different landmines were triggered.
Yeah.
And people didn't have any way of dealing with it.
And this is just always going to happen. Whenever a sort of like a little uptick, because if you zoom out, it looks fine. If you zoom really, really close in, it's like, oh my God, look at the dangerous spike.
Right.
And it's always that sort of thing is always going to be used by like conservatives and liberals to do their whole law and order shtick. They will always want more cops. They will always try to stop fucking defunding the police. It's like a tale as old as time. And it's very obvious when you don't even have to look at these numbers, really, to see that this is silly to get up in arms about.
I would say I don't think it's silly to get up in arms about it. I think it's
look at this
and not get the right takeaways. And
no,
not
I know. I'm saying it's silly for them to get up in arms about it. I'm saying it's silly to look at this little uptick and be like, oh, we need the cops because we gotta solve all this murder stuff.
Also, it's people misintentionally.
Right. Thank you, Jonathan. It's also just intentionally using information and data to support an argument, even though the data doesn't support that argument, instead of looking at this data as a vital clue into the systemic problems that we have. And if you actually cared about that murder rate, you would invest some of this money into solving those problems and not the police.
Yeah, and that argument was made they had that argument before they got this data. They want something to make this argument.
Yeah.
And like to the dip from the 90s murders, like there are also other things you can do environmentally to lower crime. Maybe a lot of the reconciliation bill and this $3.5 trillion bill will do. For example, this is still just a theory, but there is a seeming correlation between getting rid of lead in the world that we live in and this dip in crime. And there are things like that, heat waves and things like that will increase crime. Taking those sort of things into consideration, I think are important as well.
Absolutely.
Where it's not just like, oh, if you get rid of cops, if you like make more cops, then will there be less crimes? Like, well, no, the crime is caused by other things. And the solution isn't just to, make the army bigger.
Hey, guess what?
What's up?
I agree with you completely.
Completely.
Mm-hmm. There's always going to be some amount. Until we fully develop precog technology and are able to predict the murders, that's the thing. Is it's just like I was looking at the FBI statistics. There's absolutely murders that are just like street crime stuff like that. But that's actually it's the stuff that a cop could theoretically prevent. If you eliminated all that, there'd still be a whole lot of murders. It's mostly. People, acquaintances and domestic stuff. And so, it's very hard to prevent that without, again, precog technology, which is why we should be lobbying for that. But
exactly.
Yeah.
So we're coming up on an hour, even without ad breaks. Good job, us. Lots of other big things in the news this week. R. Kelly is going to prison, fucking finally. I don't really want to talk about it because it's disturbing and pretty straightforward, but very, very long overdue. People point to this as a victory for, relentless activism of Black women, and that's true. And hopefully this signifies some amount of change in violence against Black women and girls and this in community. But I don't know just yet. It's very disturbing, and good fucking riddance, R. Kelly. Also, something in the entertainment world that is long overdue is that Jamie Spears has officially been suspended from Britney's conservatorship. Hashtag free Britney. I am not as celebratory as some people are online because, yes, this is a great big step in the right direction. She is still under conservatorship. I think that is really important to point out. And perhaps that will change in her next hearing, which I believe is in another 2 months. But Jody Montgomery is the conservator of her private person, and her accountant is still the conservator of her estate. I wanted to mention one thing, and it is how we are continuing – to exploit Britney Spears, even as we're like talking about her case and drawing awareness to what's been happening, you know, and it's tricky because movement in the case kind of occurred after that first doc, you know, the Framing Britney Spears documentary came out. And I think it was really eye-opening for a lot of people. And in that sense, it's important. But that doc was made without her approval, even that one. And she expressed displeasure at it.
Which doc?
Or at least turned the first one. All of them. All of
them. Yeah, this new one on Netflix, Britney and then versus new one. Spears. It's exhausting.
And from
it's
what like, I understand, it includes, like, I haven't seen much about it, but Sam Lufty talks about it in there, and, you know, they give him, and he is somebody that has been accused of drugging Britney Spears, and it's released right at the same time as her case is on the court dockets. It's all very exploitative, and it's still being done without her permission and framing her. And like she had from what I understand, she had issues with the first one because of the, you know, they didn't quite get it right. You know, it's like well-intentioned, but hitting wrong. And at the end of the day, it's meant to make money.
Yeah. Britney versus
Spears. Off of her.
I also think this is almost Netflix. Netflix and their documentaries, man, they just love exploiting things as they're happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the other case against this, besides the fact that this new Netflix one is just like, yeah, people who aren't Britney Spears talking about what they think is happening. And
yep.
It's like, I don't give a shit what you have to say. It's also still going on.
Yeah.
And it's like, maybe this is just like, it's not a documentary. You're reporting the news
right.
as it's happening. Like, maybe fucking wait.
But not even that. It's like punditry, right? It's not even reporting the news. It's just getting, like, pundits to give opinions
yeah.
about the news that's going on right now.
It's like, this is so desperate and so exploitative. And other places are doing this shit as well. But I've just noticed lately that Netflix documentaries have gotten really gross. And this
it looks
is the
like
culmination
they include
of that.
Private text messages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's like voicemails and stuff. I mean, like, if you're gonna do this, also, like, you're Netflix, you're in everybody's home.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna do this, instead of being like, wow, here's like people talking about like what's going on with Britney, talk about conservatorships in general and
yeah.
like the problem there
yep.
and like
yes,
dive into that
you.
And do like a whole thing about it, because what's going on now is that like this might get resolved for her. And we did it. We got one person help, and they
right.
happen to be fucking
exactly.
famous.
Yeah.
And rich.
Right. And, like, that's, you know, what about everything else?
Yeah.
And especially, like, if you're Netflix, like, you don't need to, like, grab people's attention. Like, the
you're
Britney
not a
stuff.
Tabloid.
You're fucking everywhere. No one's, like, you got it. You won. You're Netflix. So do something better.
Do
they
better.
I don't think they care about that aspect.
No,
like,
no, God,
they,
no.
They didn't do Blackfish, right? That wasn't, was that them?
I don't know.
This is why
I think
got
it was
one
them.
Episode into Tiger King, because I was like, oh
yeah,
is this about
right.
the unfair treatment of tigers?
Nope.
No? No. All right, never
yep.
mind.
I didn't finish Tiger King either. I
oh,
was
Blackfish
like,
was Hulu.
Is...
Yeah.
Yeah, they yeah. care about the fucking the people stuff,
mm-hmm.
the weird tabloid shit.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
look at these weirdos.
On.
Yeah. And the horrible things they
force,
do.
Yeah, they're doing like a season two of Tiger King, but
yeah.
that story
what?
Is oh, like there's nothing there.
They're doing
and
a season
also,
two of Tiger.
Yeah, they're doing
oh, yeah.
a season two of Tiger King, and Tiger King came out in a very specific
is it
like, early
season
pandemic
two?
Era.
Yeah, it was like
yeah.
very yeah. That's
is it
so
season
weird.
Two of Tiger King, The Little Prince? Is it some little guy taking over? I don't know. I didn't finish Tiger King. I don't know how it ended.
I
just
weird...
said that.
I mean,
a
he's still
these,
in jail.
Is he? I don't know. I didn't watch it.
I guess we'll have to, I guess we'll have to watch season two.
It repelled me. That's, yeah, like you were saying, Jonathan, it was very early pandemic, and I think they think it's more of a hit than it is.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not going to have the same cachet.
Yeah, they already canceled one of the movies, the Nicolas Cage movie they were
yeah.
making, you know, because immediately.
Okay,
like
now,
six projects.
I'm sorry, but wait a minute, wait a minute. I'd much yeah. rather see a Nicolas Cage version of the movie than a season two of Tiger
oh,
King.
Me too.
Without question. Especially if they just take a lot of liberties with it and make it totally, you know, Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Again, have not seen the show.
Final thing I want to say about the Britney Spears is, like, I think they need to take a, oddly enough, I've been very excited. I think it's coming out soon, the impeachment American crime story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where they actually have Monica Lewinsky as a producer and the one who's actually consulting. And that's how you do something like that. Because Monica Lewinsky famously was fucked over by the media and talk shows and everybody.
That hasn't come out yet?
I think it's just coming out. I think there's a couple episodes. But like you empower the person who was fucked over by all this. So something like Britney Spears, that's the only person who I'm interested in hearing the story.
Yep.
From.
Right.
And if you can't get her, don't make it.
Don't make it.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you, David. That is on the money. And that does it, I think, for us today.
Woo.
That's on the David. Money too.
Tell our listeners, as if they don't know by now, but where can they find you online?
Oh, I'm a writer for a show called Some More News.
Yeah.
Check that out. Go to Some More News on YouTube.
Head writer, one might say.
Yes. Perona as just one should now, say. Just a second. Head writer. I also, I'm on the Twitter at Movie Hooligan. I got a podcast network with Tom Ryman. You can find it if you look up Gamefully Unemployed or Story Mode, wherever you get your podcasts, or you can go to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. The end. Mm-hmm.
Get your, the end. Make sure to get your Suck the Flavor shirt.
Suck the Flavor shirt that we have to put out. Yes. that was the best thing I ever did.
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
And that is it. It's over. The show.
It's over.
She done now. But we'll be back next week. In the meantime. Just so you know.
Just so you know.
We love you very much.
Fuck. Yeah.